But I realized that, you know, this experience of being in solitude also can give you a sort of learning that you would not be able to get if you are always around people. So it's like another way of approaching the solitude or the being alone part, which is, how about try your best, you know, not to distract yourself with something else. How about see if you are feeling slightly alone, lonely or whatever, and just remain that way. Like, don't try to find things to do, like trying to distract yourself and go out with friends because you find it lonely.
Welcome to Quarter Life Hack, a podcast created for millennials by millennials. We'll be discussing relatable topics to empower and hack your quarter life journey. So stay tuned while we share and you learn.
It is now.
Okay.
Can you see if it's recording?
Yep. Are you able to hear me? Are you able to hear my voice?
Yeah, it's okay. It's pretty clear. How's quarantine? How's the lockdown?
Not too bad. I think this marks our first week in quarantine.
Is it your first week?
Yeah, it's our first week. But then I think it's like the 8th day out of 14. Because we're getting out next week, Saturday, noon. But yeah, not too bad. But just to give a bit of context, yes, I am in quarantine. Nikki is in quarantine in Singapore because he just came back from Indonesia. From the previous episode, we talked about how we moved on from Australia and moving on to the next phase of our lives. And for me right now, it's in Singapore. So, which is why I am in quarantine. And I am like serving my 8th day in the hotel, Carlton Hotel in Singapore. It's near Bras Basah, near Bugis. I'm literally facing SMU every single day. So I'm like, I don't know, man. Back in Aussie, we are like facing UTS. Now I'm facing SMU. I feel like there's a thing.
Inspired to be educated, I guess.
I know, always, right? To be educated.
But how's the, well, I mean, you travel around Indonesia, you're making everyone who follows you jealous. the fact that everyone is in lockdown and in quarantine, and now you are like the only one having a holiday. How's the holiday like?
Was that really how everyone felt seeing my story?
I don't know. What do you think people will think seeing a story?
Well, you know, I was a bit more like, I want to capture the moment and make sure that I don't forget it and I can look back, you know?
Okay, anyway, how's that?
It's good. I think, like, I don't even know what is the one word to put it, but, like, literally right now, just like looking back, I'm like thinking, why did I even think so long to came up with this plan, or like to like decide on this? You know what I mean? It's like it felt so obvious at this point. It's like, this is the way to go, this is the plan, there's no better plan than this. And yet I thought it was like a leap of faith. I thought it was like, oh man, I think I'm gonna make a bad decision, I think I'm gonna regret it, I think it's gonna be doomed, you know? But then, like, I'm like, man, it's so obvious. This is the best decision. So, like,
why is it the best decision? Is it the fact that you're the only one having holiday other than the rest?
Wow. Well, not well. That has their own perks, but then it's mostly just having fun with your girlfriend, right? With my girlfriend. I mean, we haven't had a lot of this moment together for quite a while. And also even exploring different places. Like, we went to Bali. just to be a bit of context, when I went back to Indonesia, I went to Surabaya, which is my girlfriend's town, and I spent close to 2 weeks there. But then at the meantime, when I was there, we went to Bali as well for like a good 4 or 5 days. And then we went to Yogyakarta as well and visiting Borobudur and different places. So like, for example, Yogyakarta, I haven't been there ever. And I haven't been to Borobudur, which is a great heritage place. And especially us as Buddhists, that is like, you have to go to that. But so it was amazing looking there the first time. And also even exploring different part of Bali. Like, we don't just stay in the city. We stay literally outside the city. In Ubud, in different places where, of course, you're a bit more socially distant. But anyways, like, well, the feeling...
I presume there's not going to be a lot of people there anyway. See, I mean, you kind of avoid the tourists too.
See, that's the funny thing. I thought that that's the case. But then apparently there is... still quite a bit of tourists. Like, to be honest, there are quite a bit of Caucasians there, more than I expected.
There's more people like you, I guess.
There are more locals, yes. There are more people like me, that's right.
No, I mean, like, more people like you. What I mean is, like, people like you who is going on holidays.
Yes, actually, yes. Because I went there during the November period, right? That was really when there's quite a lot of people really trying to get away, especially after this whole bloody year. And I think it was also a very relaxed... Yeah, it's a very relaxed month, November, December. So I guess a lot of people are really getting out to Bali. And people in Indonesia can technically only go to Bali for holiday. Plus, there are a huge discount there as well. So I guess there's a lot of locals really just going to Bali. But I really think that I really enjoyed the whole time, and I maybe I shouldn't have overthink that much beforehand. That's really my only small regret.
What's your key experience there? What's the most memorable part of your trip?
I gotta say it's the villa that we stayed in Bali for the last night. I think do you see my story on that? Literally, like, I was staying in a place that is an open place. It's a villa, and they call it the bamboo house because it is literally made of bamboo, and literally you have the whole house to yourself, and you're facing the whole greenery. Literally, like a field of a plot of land. Where they have plantations, and even in the morning you can see the Mount Agung, which is a volcano, still active volcano there in Bali, which is very interesting, because like you usually only get to see this view when you go on a hike, and then you suddenly live in this place for a night where you get to see that, and then but then the funny thing is because it's an open place, that means that literally insects can come in. There is no doors except for to your room. There are no doors, whatever. So insects do come in. And it's funny because in the Airbnb description, it says that if you're not a fan of small insects, this place is really not for you. So do find another place. It's like, that's the huge disclaimer to you. Like you have to be okay with small insects because it's going to come, even though it's so clean. Like, I'm actually surprised that they're able to clean it so well despite this open area in this like middle of nowhere sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah. So it's the unique experience of the villa. And
yeah, I gotta say, we are just exploring villas. So, like, there's not a lot of, like, I mean, we go to beaches and all that, but then, like, we don't go to, like, beach clubs and all that. We don't even go to one of them. So, like, literally, I think the whole experience was just, like, exploring different places, going on a bit of a hike, a lot of nature visit. And I think that's why it's more memorable that way.
Okay, that's good. Well, it's good to hear that you have fun there.
I hope you don't get too jealous.
No, don't worry. Of course, everything in Sydney is also pretty good, pretty normal, as how it is. But I mean, it's good that you're enjoying yourself, and I think you're meant to anyway. before you start your next chapter of your life. Anyway, fast forward to your quarantine. I mean, that's something pretty interesting, isn't it? You're now in quarantine, and you arrived back in Singapore just last week, and you have to be in quarantine for 14 days.
Yep.
That's not something not many people kind of can experience, but how was it so far?
I think so far, so good. I think I got to say the first few days was a lot of adaptation. I think the first day, especially, we were just like, oh my God, I can't believe this. It's just the first day. Like
it's like you're too bored already. Like, oh my God, can't believe I have to do this fucking times.
Well, think about it. Like, in the first day, we already did quite a bit. Like, I already played. Because we were so bored, we actually asked my siblings to get shuttlecock and, of course, other essential items.
Right, shuttlecock is very essential, very obviously. Essential.
And I kid you not, that has been our entertainment for our quarantine. We literally has been playing badminton every single day. Especially Mama, because Mama apparently and surprisingly plays pretty well. So we were just like playing across our beds, just hitting the shuttle.
Why don't you get a portable net too? I think that will work.
Dude, a net plus badminton in a hotel room, that's just like a disaster, man.
Okay, anyway.
But no, I think like the whole quarantine has been really quite an experience. Like, of course, I have been... Okay, so to give a bit of context, I'm quarantining not by myself. I'm quarantining with my parents, and we also have connecting rooms. So it sort of enlarged our room capacity to like 2 times, which is good because you technically can walk around more and you have, you know, of course, companion with your parents. And of course, I've been in Sydney for a long time. I haven't really spent time a lot with my parents. And I feel like I have spent time more with my parents in this whole time than my, I don't know, last 1 year combined, last 1 or 2 years combined, something like that. Because it literally is like having staycation with your parents right now. Like yesterday, we were just watching movies at night. There was a Korean thriller movie that we watched. And then we also like have a K-drama that we were watching. I don't know. It's like a very staycation sort of vibe, right? And also just...
Well, it sounds fun, man.
Huh?
It sounds fun, eh?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think it's fun. Like, first week it has been pretty okay. Like, we have also have a couple of interesting events that happened.
Okay, what is it?
We had a mystery delivery person, or like, I call it the Secret Santa, that has been delivering food to us. And we don't even know who delivered it.
Food? What kind of food?
So like I think the first one was on Friday or something. Yeah, it was on a Friday. So I think we had a food delivery, a Starbucks delivery, okay, in the morning, 8 a.m. And it consists of 3 sparkling water, 1 pie, and 1 latte, hot latte. And we were just like, wait. And then, of course, it was delivered to my parents' room. And my parents was like, wait, do you order Starbucks? And I was like, no, I just woke up. And then we were like, wait, who is this? Of course, we don't want to just accept it. But then we called the driver, the delivery driver, which is Grab. And then we called them, and then they were like trying to confirm, is this the right room number? Are you sure you send it to 1313, which is my room number? And I was like, yeah, it is. And then I was like, but the one who ordered it, it's a name that we are so unfamiliar with. I swear, it's not even a local name. It's a foreign name. And we're just like, wait, but how are we going to do about this? And we realized that because we're in quarantine, we technically can't take things out. So we can't literally tell the
reason. Can't give back.
Yeah,
you can't return it back to, like, can you send it over to the other side? Like, it's not going to be even worth the risk.
Yeah, no, exactly. So it's, they can't do that. And we are like, okay, well, since people order this for this to be enjoyed, I guess let's just enjoy this then.
Yeah. I mean, definitely that's what I will do, definitely. If you have food inside and you can't even return it, there's only 2 ways of going out. It's like it's either it's going to enter to your body or to the trash.
The thing that it doesn't end there. And the afternoon, literally 12:30. This is another thing because during the Friday I had a team lunch with
I believe it's a virtual team lunch.
Yeah, it's a virtual team lunch. And then we had another delivery from Starbucks with two sparkling water, two coffee, and one something.
What, bagels, croissant?
I think something like that. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. One packet of coffee beans. Can you believe it? Like, you know, the coffee beans, like the packet ones for you to make it yourself. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And then because I was also having team lunch, and also just a bit of context, I started working with Grab. So I literally asked my Grab colleague, and we're just like, wait, what do we do about this? Because this is delivered by Grab. Is there anything that we can do about this? Because I'm getting free stuff, but I'm pretty sure there are someone out there that are deprived of these things. We did joke about like, oh wait, can we do this? Can we do now? We're like, nah, we can't do that. We can't do that. We just enjoy this. Just enjoy. Just take it. And that doesn't end there. Literally this morning, Papa had another phone call, but this time around, here's what happened. We got a phone call from the concierge saying that we had a delivery from NTUC. And then Papa was like, no, we didn't order this. But then something happened a few days ago. So Papa explained the situation, like the Starbucks thing. And then the concierge was like, oh my God, thank God I called, because yeah, I just want to double confirm. Let me just try to find who this belongs to. And so the concierge hangs up. And then a few minutes later, he called back and he said, okay, I found the person who actually ordered this. And funny thing enough, it's also the same person that ordered the Starbucks a few days ago. They did admit their mistake. They're not blaming anyone. They just said, yeah, it's their mistake. It's their mistake.
Is it the hotel's mistakes?
Huh? It's their mistake. No. It's the one who ordered it is the one who put the number wrong. They were staying in 2313 or something like that. So it's just like one missing, one different number. I was just 13. I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. But well, we already had a lot of stuff. I mean, like, this, thank God they got it right this time.
It's interesting that it took them 3 times to learn the lesson. Like,
I know. Papa did the same thing. Papa has been like literally saying, wait, why does it take you so long?
Yeah. Once is all right. Like, you know, the first mistake, okay, fair enough. You could have made the first mistake. And the second time, and then the third time, I'm like, wait, didn't you really learn your mistakes? Like, didn't you like ever ask Starbucks, like, hey, where's my orders? And like, can you just repeat the room number, repeat whatever, ask them to re-deliver? I don't know. But I'm just like, what? Dude,
I asked the same question, man. I really do not know why. I mean, like, you lost quite a bit of a delivery mistake, right? Like, it's not just one small stuff. It's like a few stuff, which cost like at least $50.
$50? Really? A few Starbucks?
Yeah. Like, you ordered two sparkling water, two coffee, and one coffee bean. That's just one of the deliveries.
Two coffee, that can't be much. Like what? $5-$6 each?
$6 is like $12. And then sparkling water also costs almost the same at Starbucks.
$5, $10, $26. How much is the bean? I don't know.
Coffee beans. Like, I don't know. It was quite a big pack. Like, you know, like legit the pack that you will buy in NTUC.
Okay. Roughly around 40, 50-ish. Okay.
Yeah. But, well, anyways, that's the interesting experience in quarantine. Apart from that, I mean, those are like one-off thing, right? As I mentioned earlier, also I was starting work in quarantine as well, so that's an interesting experience.
Well, I mean, everyone is working from home. Everyone is onboarding from home anyway. I guess there isn't much difference from onboarding from home and doing it in hotel, I assume.
Well, I think. I think it's the whole experience of like, oh, you're quarantined and then now you're back to work. So like I have to, just to be a, like another context is like I haven't been working for like close to officially working for like 3 months, right? Or 2 months.
Oh, really?
Like
so long? Wow.
Yeah, dude. I was stood down and then I was made redundant, right? So that was like, yeah, close to 2 to 3 months. And then, okay. Of course, like, yeah, and then now starting back to work, you know, and also I'm in quarantine. It's like a bit, there's like two things going on that is like interesting in my opinion. Right. Plus the onboarding, I had to like postpone the onboarding. So I'm supposed to go to the office technically on Monday this week, but I cannot. So I have to postpone it until I'm out of quarantine. And it's always, which is next week. Yeah. Oh, subsequent week, but it's quite a nice icebreaker, like a conversation starter when you meet your new colleague. Like, oh yeah, do you know that Nikki is actually in quarantine right now? Like, oh wait, what? And then we had a bit of a story, you know. You catch up with your colleague, you know, you make friends with them. So yeah, it was a. I think yeah, to be honest, I think that has kept me going, especially for the past 1 week. So I'm not sure about my parents. They have been watching TV most of the time and playing badminton. Where else I have been sort of working. I also did my YouTube vlog. I'm not sure whether you have checked that out. I have my YouTube vlog as well. So I've been pretty busy actually during the quarantine period.
Okay, wow. That's well, that's good then. I mean the least. I guess not many people are looking forward to quarantine because they don't know what they're going to do. And since you have something to do, then that's good. Then.
Yeah. I think I got a better situation than most people in quarantine. But how's everything because back in Australia?
Yeah. No, it's pretty all right. It's pretty normal. To be honest, like everything here is pretty the same. Like, work-wise is pretty, it's kind of slowing down towards the new year and Christmas. Mm. And yeah, just very normal here, I guess. But a bit of a different environment, I guess. Just living alone is a bit different from having a housemate.
Housemate.
So, just have to get used to that, I think. It's funny because like I think a lot of people actually experience that, perhaps, maybe... that solitude or that confinement during the lockdown period, and I just kind of felt it right now more likely. it's not like full confinement or something. I mean, I'm still like going with like have my normal routines of going to badminton training and hang out with friends. It's just funny because like, yeah, it feels like what I'm experiencing is what people experienced initially during the quarantine. It's just interesting, you know. It's just like going through you know, the changes that took place. And that's kind of it for pretty much everyone, I guess. For you also quarantining, and for me having to stay here by myself. But yeah, other than that, it's pretty normal. Pretty chill.
We both sort of right now, after like seven months since March, since the whole coronavirus thing, we just now didn't feel like this whole quarantine vibe. Where else people felt it like 7 months earlier.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because 7 months earlier, we definitely feel some change, but I don't think to a point that where that isn't a big change in terms of our maybe environment in some ways. I'm not sure how to say this, but it doesn't feel as much of a change previously. Now it feels like there is much more change and like some adjusting that needs to be done. Previously, obviously, there's adjusting to be done. I mean, you can't go out as much and you have to wear masks, everything. But, you know, not as much as this one, I think. It's very, very interesting. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good then. I mean, how have you been coping with the solitude?
Solitude, yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because there's so many ways to... to go around this solitude or being alone by yourself, right? And I think the more common methods is to kind of find something to do. And I think that's pretty normal. Like going out with friends, asking your friends for dinners and everything. And I did that, you know, I did all that. But I realized that, you know, this experience of being in solitude also can give you a sort of learning that you would not be able to get if you are always around people. So it's like another way of approaching the solitude or the being alone part, which is how about try your best, you know, not to distract yourself with something else. How about see if you are feeling slightly alone, lonely or whatever, and just remain that way. Like, don't try to find things to do, like trying to distract yourself and go out with friends because you find it lonely. Like, I recently just kind of like, you know what, let's just give it a try. You know, what are the sort of experience I will get? What are sort of learnings that I will get from just being myself or being here by myself without having to go out the whole time? Like, yesterday, I literally just had that experience where I had the whole day off not having to kind of have any plans with my friends. And it's very tempting because I did, you know, try to ask if, like, you know, if anyone is free for whatever. But yeah, then it just so happened that not a lot of my friends are free at that time. So I just kind of think about it. You know, instead of like trying to find things to do, why not just, you know, just try to be aware at what you're feeling right now, and as much as possible, take that experience and make it into a good use. Cause I always believe that solitude will give you some sort of light within you. Like, you can find yourself better in solitude. And that's why doing retreats, doing a lot of stuff like meditation or a lot of inner works requires a bit of solitude. You will be definitely be tempted to interact with someone. You definitely have that desire to, you know, talk with someone, to, you know, do things with someone. And that's normal for human nature to do that. But at the same time, it's how we deal with those desire. Because after all, it is a desire and we all have that. And it's more of how we deal with that, that can give you a better learnings or whatever insights that you can get from that. So yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
It is an interesting point that you made, because I think I sort of have a bit of a similar revelation, especially in the quarantine. One small example is, you know how we like to listen to music when we are showering, right? Sometimes I just like, when I was going through like, oh, what songs to listen to? Because you probably already exhausted your whole playlist and you keep repeating the same songs. And then you get bored. But then, you know, when I was listening and I was choosing my songs, I was like, you know what? Maybe I can just enjoy the shower. You know what? Let's not just listen to music and always have something, you know, doing or like, you know, watching something or hearing something. Why not just enjoy what you're doing, you know? And so I literally, when I was in the hotel, I've been just showering, you know, without listening to any sort of music.
Is that what you do the whole time? Just showering.
I mean, it's a funny example, but then like,
I wonder what happened to the water bill in the hotel now.
Shower, man. Just enjoy the hot water, you know. Don't just like listen to music and all that. And I felt like, yeah, when I was doing that, I felt like, I felt a bit more like I sort of know myself a bit more, and I really enjoyed, because we enjoyed hot shower, so we sort of enjoyed that a bit more. And then when you know you're brushing your teeth, you tend to search YouTube videos to see whether you can watch something while brushing. I'm like, why not just brush your teeth? I know it's a very lame example, but then I thought there was a very similar process that you mentioned.
That's true.
So yeah. But again, it's hard to realize that, you know, it takes a bit of like, it takes another level to like, you know what, let's just enjoy what we're doing rather than succumbing to your desire of looking for entertainment. So like, you get what I mean? Like sometimes even though we know this, we always still go into that loop of just, oh, next videos, what's the next videos? What am I supposed to do now? What, I'm bored, you know? So like, it takes a bit of like reminder to yourself sort of thing. Because I don't do this every single day. I still sometimes like want to listen to music, I guess, and still find things to do when I'm bored. You know, like back to our natural self.
It's normal, I guess, because I think distracting yourself or finding those kind of sort of entertainment is entertaining. You know, it gives you an entertainment or dopamine, whatever you call it, right? It's more pleasurable to find that sort of distractions when you're doing something a bit mundane, like showering or brushing your teeth, to you know, make the whole experience more enjoyable. But yeah, you raise a good point. I think I mean we are all kind of living in a world where everything's moving really fast and a lot of distractions. And the reason and it becomes a habit for us to be distracted all the time. Because we are always doing it. You know, it becomes a habit if you think about it.
Yep.
When you're waiting for something, what are the sort of things that you'll do? You'll pick up your phone, try to surf Instagram, try to surf something.
Surf the story.
You know, try to kill the time as much as possible with that. You know, maybe that sort of entertainment that you can get, that dopamine boost. And there's nothing wrong with it because it is definitely more entertaining than just sitting alone and just waiting and just observing people. But at the same time, what you're doing is you're creating this sort of habit loop where every time you're just going to be having this short period of time of alone period where you have nothing to do, and then you just have to do something else. You just have to distract yourself something else. And distractions... Is distractions for a reason, because it's not gonna get you any good, right? Like those surfing of the net during those times is not gonna get you any better for yourself. And what I mean by better by yourself is that those experience that you get by just being present, and that's not an easy thing to do. It's the same thing, like how the habit that we have for distractions, we have to have the habit to be present. We need to put in the effort to be present.
So how what are practical steps that we can do to create that habit?
Well, first thing is to first be aware that you're being distracted. It's pretty subconscious sometimes. I do it myself. Waiting for the lift, in the lift, waiting for my coffee. And the first thing I do subconsciously, without even me thinking about it, is opening up my phone. And yeah, sometimes it just happens, right? Sometimes you don't think too much about it. It just happens. Again, because it's a habit. But sometimes I become more aware. Sometimes I start to realize, why am I doing this? What am I doing here? Why am I surfing through the net for like, why am I surfing through the social for an hour instead of sleeping? Right, and then just when you're aware, it can make you slightly lesser in terms of the habit of your doing. Just to be aware, you know, just the first step, just to be aware that you're doing those things, then you're distracting yourself.
Okay.
So I think that's the first and most important step is just to know that there are times where you're distracted, and you always want to be distracted because it's always more entertaining to be distracted than to be present.
Yep,
it's always more entertaining.
But okay, what if people challenge you? Like, you know, okay, yeah, sure, I'm aware. For example, I'm in a lift. I'm not doing anything anyways. Why can't I surf my phone? Maybe I am saving my time. I making my time more efficient. So there's nothing wrong, I guess, with surfing or like filling up my free time with something else, I guess. So why do I want to change it?
Then this comes to the thing where what we are trying to hit is more of these pleasurable moments, these this dopamine boost. I think I learned this from Simon Sinek or something. When you check your phone, there's always that dopamine boost.
Yep, and there is.
Whatever you call it, right? The entertainment there, the sort of the joy or the happiness that you get from just surfing the net, right? Quote unquote happiness. But the reason why I will argue against is that what happened after you don't get the entertainment itself, right? The only way for you to get that dopamine boost again is to check your phone all the time. And that could lead you into that cycle where you need that dopamine boost just to make yourself happy. Mm. Imagine that you have to surf the net just to make yourself happy. How dependent are you on the net then?
So more, when like I take that
from you, yeah, you get addicted to it. You get addicted to the dopamine boost. How if in the lift, I take out your phone, suddenly you become like anxious. Oh my God, what am I going to do for the next 30 seconds even? For the next minute? What am I going to do with it? So I think it's the same kind of dependency that we are trying to get away with. Like we do not want to be too dependent on all this for our own sake of happiness. Am I right? Mm. We don't want to be dependent on our social medias, our phones, so that we can be happy. So the argument against that is that I think we all need to be to have the good habit of being able to be present. And to realize things more when you're present, I guess. Because I guess when you're present, you're more aware of whatever things that's going on around you. And in that sense, that could bring you to more joy in the future. I mean, this is a very philosophical way, I guess, of thinking. Mm-hmm. But I guess the more practical way is that, yeah, if you're just going to keep hoping that this social media is going to keep you up all the time, keep you entertained all the time, it's not going to lead you to any good in the future. It's not going to add any value for the long run. You're just literally doing it for the short run. And that's something to be aware of. So that's my take on it, at least. I mean, I'm sure you have your take on it. What is it?
I agree with you. I have been, you know, honestly, I haven't been there. I mean, I haven't like technically, I have been more aware of it, but then it's not like I have been like totally super fine with like doing nothing when I am in solitude or whatnot. So I'm not really like super comfortable with being solitude yet. But then like I guess in some way I'm really at the first two steps, you know, being aware of it and all that. That's why I'm like more like thinking like, huh. And when you mention about habits, okay, I start to think back about the habit book that I read, which is The Atomic Habits by James Clear. And you know how like it mentions about there's a four-way of a habit, right? You got to get a cue. I think there's like cravings. But then there's... do you remember that? Like the four steps thing?
I think there's a cue, and then there is...
There's craving.
There's craving. There's like a desire for that. And then,
there's a response. There's a response, and then there's a reward. Right? So if we want to create a habit of this... That's why I was challenging, like, okay, what's the awareness going to be? I guess that's the cue. But somehow, there must be a cue to somehow to make you be aware in some sense. Does that make sense? Like, you know, sometimes you don't just be aware of every single thing that you do. And sometimes you just need that a bit of cue to like, hey, be aware. And then you're like, oh, yeah, let's be aware. And then that's where like, oh, okay. So I'm just trying to think, what are the cue, you know, what's the cue for you to like not surf your phone when you are, you know, when you're in the lift?
I'm not sure.
And the first thing that I came and think of, which I did like last time, I don't know whether I did now, maybe I might try, which is to actually put Instagram not in your homepage. Have you tried that? Because that is quite a big cue where, you know, you're constantly trying to find the app. And then because you're trying to find the app, you start to realize, why do you not have the app at your homepage anyway? And you start to realize, oh, wait, I'm trying to be more aware and I'm trying to use less of it. So that's the cue. that has worked quite a bit for me. I haven't see, that's the funny thing. I used that method for a while, and then when I move to a new phone, which I currently have, I start to put it back. Maybe I should start deleting it as well. But some people even delete the whole app altogether, right? I think we've heard some of our friends do that. So that could be a cue itself, I guess. You don't have to do that. But also, but apart from that cue, like that's a quick hack, right? That's a quick hack for you to be aware and use social media lesser. But I was thinking about the reward part. Because reward is the last aspect of the habit which makes you want to do the action again, which create this loop of habits. Because if there are things that okay, fair enough. People tend to do things that are rewarded, and people tend to do not of the things that are painful in some way. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? And if people are trying to control themselves, you know, they're just like, okay, no, I cannot use my social media because obviously it's going to, do this and that. I'm depriving myself of this dopamine effect, which I have been sort of used to. And that is like a pain effect. You know, I'm depriving myself of this dopamine happiness effect. And that means that I'm just going to use my sense of discipline and willpower to keep this habit going. And which is not a very sustainable thing if you think about it, because willpower and discipline and all that are like muscle. Sure, you can do that the first couple of weeks, but it can get fatigued. And that's why a lot of people don't keep on doing this habit, because it's not rewarding. It's painful because you're depriving yourself of dopamine effect. I'm just thinking, what are the ways that we can do to actually be making this more rewarding? If you get what I mean.
Yeah, it's very interesting, because I totally get what you mean. And I think that's the main reason why we are always distracted, isn't it? Because the reward are always there. The reward are so easily accessible.
Exactly.
It's so instantaneously, like when you're just browsing through your social, and then you suddenly just have that dopamine effect. But it's also funny, because I also actually experienced the... What's the opposite of rewards? It's the punishment of using social. And I think that's something to also be more aware of, I think. I'm not sure whether you have experienced it before, but sometimes when I search through social, I get quite, addicted in terms of like scrolling through one after another. But sometimes my head suddenly go really hurting. You know? Mm-hmm. It hurts my head. For some reason, I think because I've just been looking through the screen for like quite some time, and it just hurts my head. But for some reason, I still can't stop it. And it's very interesting, because it's fighting against this reward, and yet at the same time, there's this pain that's coming slowly out of it. But the reward are still there. Just talking about reward, about like being present, is definitely not as instantaneous as checking to Instagram, and that's why it's so hard to be present, isn't it? But I think once you experience like to be present, to be calm, I think like how I explain present is you're there, and you're being able to be so aware of everything that's going around you. You know, your mind is clear. It's like weightless. There isn't anything that's straining your mind, like you're thinking of something. So, to be honest, if you're able to experience that, firstly, you're able to experience a bit of that reward section of how it is like to be present. Because I don't think a lot of people have many chance to be able to be present and able to experience that reward side of being present. So I think that's the essential part, I think, to know the reward part that you mentioned. And I guess the other part is to know what the punishment of going through that social. The hurting of the head is one. I don't have to go through again about what we have gone through, like the social comparison, but it's a big thing, to be honest. because honestly, I actually just experienced this literally just yesterday. I saw so many people just like hanging out with friends and like doing all the fun stuff, and I'm happy for them. You know, I'm happy for them, but there's just something still within me that damn it, how will it be good if I maybe could have joined, or maybe if I can have another plans? You know, just comparing yourself, your current state with what they are. And I realized that that is triggered because of the social media. You know, I wouldn't have known what they're doing if without the social media. And perhaps if I have not seen the social media, I wouldn't have feeling the pain that I went through yesterday. So I think it's this overall concept of being aware of what's going on, like how social media has impacted you in so many different ways, and what has actually led you to that social media, from that beginning to the end. I think it's so important. But yeah, I can't stress enough, I think, to you know, just be that aware of what's going on.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be just social media. You know, we emphasize a lot on social media, but it really can just be a lot of things where I think our main point here was trying to find out, like, you know what, like, be at peace with yourself, even when you're in solitude, even when you're not doing anything. You don't have to keep finding things to do. You don't have to keep watching things. You don't have to keep hearing things. You don't have to be always, like, doing something, pretty much.
I totally agree. And I think instead of also trying to be peace at yourself, sometimes it's really hard to be peace at yourself.
Yeah.
But at least try to find peace at yourself. I think trying, at least, even if you're not peaceful at that time, it's okay. At least you're trying. You're trying your best to see, to be aware of your thoughts, to see what your mind is thinking, you know, to see what your brain is constantly dwelling about, because sometimes it's doing the work up there, but it's hard for you to be aware of it. I think okay if you are you're feeling a bit lonely sometimes, or a bit, you know, that sense of craving for someone to talk to, for craving for someone to go out with. It's okay. But I think it's very important to, you know, how to deal with that appropriately.
Do you have a quick hack for that?
Ooh. Well, my quick hack is, if you feel lonely at times, just don't find a distractions instead. Instead, look at just listen to what your mind is talking, and then try to trace it back to the root cause, because there's always a cause. The mind is talking, and that's kind of like the symptoms of it. You know, like COVID-19, there's symptoms to it, right? But there's a root cause to that symptoms, you know? That virus, you have to go deep into finding that virus within you, because it's hidden somewhere, but it's not something that is easy to get into. So, well, for me, it's try to be optimistic as much, even if you're alone and lonely. I think there's always an optimist side to be in solitude, and I think it can give you a deep lesson when you're in that position.
Okay, I think also one additional hack that we also often mention about this is to focus on your breathing. Like, if you don't have to be on meditation to do that, you just focus on the breathing, which I know it's very cliche right now. I think a lot of people have just like, you know, focus on the breathing whenever you do things. But like, sometimes I just take a few couple deep breaths when I have that moment of like a bit of anxiety, or like, because you feel anxious, right? When you are in this solitude phase. So you just like take that couple of deep breaths, and you just like realize, what am I anxious about? Like, everything is fine. I have everything all in order. Why am I worried so much? You know,
100%. Which I think that's a good trick and tips and tricks. I think the simple ways to just kind of try yourself to be present. An easy way is just take a few deep breaths, and And then you'll find yourself to be more present at the time.
Mm,
true. Less heavy on the head, you know. Start to like, huh, you know, everything's going to be fine. Everything, the problem that you're facing is all self-creation through your head anyway. So take a few deep breaths. Scientifically, that's because more oxygen goes into your head, and that makes your mind clearer. So to those out there who really want it to be very practical, you know, less philosophical, less spiritual, like, to be honest, it has been scientifically backed too.
There is, yeah. Take a few deep breaths,
and you'll see that there are more oxygen going into your head, and it makes your mind much clearer.
And just even to add more onto that is that there has been a scientific research saying that monks who meditate actually has this portion of the brain that actually managed to make them react to pain not lesser. I think it's like beforehand. You know how like I remember I was watching this Explained series where a lot of times when we were, you know, when we were about to touch like a hot kettle, we will experience the pain even before touching it. But then people that has, you know, this big, you know, that has practiced meditation and has enhanced their mind to or their brain to a certain ways is that they will only experience the pain at that moment itself. They won't experience it before. So that means that they won't be like expecting it and be anxious about it. They just experience it late at that point and it just goes down. Or else people will just be like tend to have the pain before touching it and even after touching it. I don't know. There was this scientific. If you want to know more and you have a Netflix channel, go watch the Explain series for meditation. There was one for the Mind Explain or something like that. I think it's a really good episode. But yeah, I think that's a really good hacks, and I think also a good way to end this episode off. Do you have any other things that you want to add?
Not really, actually. Like, hopefully people can take away from this. I think it's interesting because we are only talking about confinement, solitude, or quarantine at this a bit later stage of the COVID part. But I think it's still a very important topic to talk about, because whether or not you're in quarantine, whether or not your COVID happens or not, you will experience these feelings, right? This is a common feelings that we all have. And to be honest, across generations, right? And the hacks that we learn are not something new.
Yeah.
In fact, some hacks that has been developed 2,500 years ago, maybe, you know, like, old, like, or the yogis back in those days, they experienced that too, and that's because our human brains, yes, they develop, but they are still human brains, and they still do what human brain does. But anyway, that's kind of it. I think for those people who are experiencing the same thing as us, just know that you're not experiencing it alone, and just try your best to see, you know, try to be aware of those stuff and get at the other side of it, you know, a bit clearer, you know, with the lessons that you learned.
Sweet. Yeah. And if you guys have any questions or if you guys have anything that you want to share with us, please do DM us in our Instagram page at QuarterLifeHack. Oh, yes. And also follow us on that page as well. We'll be getting more active, especially when we have our lives in order.
Trying to. We are all work in progress here.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for listening, guys. And I'll see you guys next time.
All right. Peace out.